Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster. And if you're new here, welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur. This is the show where we get into the heads of successful entrepreneurs to better understand how they think, how they act, and what drives them forward. We aren't looking for tactics, we're searching for strategies that work. All right, let's get into it. My guest today is a six-time Inc. 5000 CEO, two times Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year semifinalist, and the co-founder of AutoClaims Direct. Founded in 2003, AutoClaims Direct has grown to an eight-figure virtual claims tech company that has processed nearly $4 billion in collision losses. He truly lives the entrepreneur lifestyle, and he spends a lot of his time focusing on optimization in health, fitness, and work. Now, let's hack Ernie Bray. When you're starting or running a business, there are two ways that you can make more profit. You can earn more revenue, or you can spend less. Want to know an easy way to spend less and save some money? Lower the interest rate on your credit card debt with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Lightstream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. I'm a digital entrepreneur, which makes me typically despise working with banks because they're really old, slow, antiquated, and they don't know the digital world, and that aggravates me. This is not the case with Lightstream. They've got a beautiful user interface and user experience on your desktop or your mobile. And as a listener, you're going to get an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/hack. LightStream.com/hack. There is a disclaimer. It's subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for more information. We're back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have a very, very, very special guest, Ernie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be on, John.
Wow, this is going to be a lot of fun. I've been looking forward to this for however long it's taken us to get this together. and I know it's going to be a lot of fun. So let's just jump into it, shall we?
Sounds good.
All right, Ernie, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Well, John, I'd have to say it's my embracing of the entrepreneur lifestyle. And my definition of that is really when I was leaving the working world of working a 9-to-5 job, a lot of people, they dream about being entrepreneurs, but the thing I think is really that's driven my success is I've made it a lifestyle where I live it basically 7 days a week. And for a lot of people out there, they might think, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, where's the work-life balance in that? But when I incorporate and organize my life, and I can extrapolate on a little bit here in a second, but it becomes your identity. It's what you do. And that's, I think, really that forward momentum all the time, but in a positive way.
Right. I had somebody on and he explained it as, I don't have a lifestyle business, I have a business lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. I mean, I know what you mean.
And I mean, lifestyle businesses are the things people talk about sitting on the beach, but that's not what you're talking. You're talking about how, or are you, like, is it integrated beyond, say, the office is what you mean, into your life?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so when I started the company, I didn't really have an idea of how to be an entrepreneur. I've read books. I studied up as much as I could. But when you're starting a business, you have to go out, obviously, and wear many hats. So what I did is I have a great wife. She's amazing. and you have to have, she's supportive of everything I do, but you know, when I'm working late at night, I'm working at 10, 11, 12, 1 in the morning, some days I don't. But I think the biggest thing is incorporating it in your lifestyle and having, I would say the thing behind it is my daily routine. That's really, I thought about today, right before the show here, I was out working out, doing things at different odd hours that people wouldn't think an entrepreneur is doing. They think that entrepreneur is just grinding and hustling all the time. And it really doesn't have to be that way. You have to be able to incorporate a routine. And that's what's, I've kept that routine year after year after year.
What's the routine?
Well, all right. Well, in the past,
I mean, you've intrigued us to this point.
Okay. All right. So the routine that I do is, I mean, people may have the perception of that entrepreneurs just, like I said, working all the time. I make sure, I'm a big believer, because I have a lot of interest outside of just pure business. You have to be operating at the top of your game to be successful. I mean, if you're just going to burn the candle at all ends and you're going to be working until 2 a.m. and you're going to burn yourself out. And so being counterintuitive and saying to yourself, you know what? I need to sleep. Sleep is so important. I need to work out. So my typical day, I mean, for example, I'll get up maybe at 6:45 in the morning, get out, start nice long walk, 45 minutes. Then like yesterday, I'll jump in and then jump in the pool. I'll swim. Maybe I'll swim for 1,000 yards, get another. So I've already done maybe an hour and 15 minutes, of just low level cardio, got my mind going. Then I make sure eat a healthy breakfast, do all those things like that, get myself going, get my cup of coffee, then get myself centered. Because I'm a big believer, you got to take time for yourself in this entrepreneurial world. You have to do that. Because if I can operate at a higher level, then I'll be more efficient in my business. And once I do that, I'll have some meetings on the phone. I'll take calls. One of the things I do is that when I'm walking, sometimes I'm taking phone calls. I have a little notepad in my pocket, a little pen. So if some idea comes to me, I'll write it down. Or for example, I have a quick short meeting with a few of my key leaders in the team. I'll call them up. We'll have a quick, you know, 5 or 10 minutes while I'm walking. So I'm working, yet I'm still getting a little exercise in. And I try to knock out those things and be very productive early on, physically on myself side and in the company. So then I can really jump into my day when it's 9:30 in the morning and get some real good stuff done. But it's not just all work. You have to be able to take care of yourself. Really important.
Yeah. I love the only calls that I don't walk around on are these ones. Every other call of my business, I'm walking because I think I sit otherwise too much here.
Yeah.
So throughout that opening question, you mentioned leaving the working world behind. And I would like to know, because this is ACD has been 15 years?
15 years.
15
That's right.
15 years. And you had no formal business training, yet you've created this, I mean, a multiple award-winning and extremely successful business. Where did you come from at that point? And then what sort of instigated this new company?
Okay. So I played college basketball. I was a college basketball player. And when my career ended there, I got into the regular working world and started working and started out some inside sales at some electrical supply company. Then I got into insurance because I got tired of that inside sales job. And I got into insurance for several years and worked in that. But I had this feeling inside, I just didn't like being in an office. I didn't like the cubicle lifestyle. I didn't like really working for a company. And I don't know how to describe it, but it's just that I'm going to be frank with you. I kind of have a very competitive mindset and I see inefficiencies going on in businesses and I want to change that. And when I see that, and I knew there was no real path for me to do that because there was a lot of politics I felt in this 9-to-5 world, I just realized it wasn't for me. And I really wasn't thrilled with being in insurance by any means. I mean, I was doing side projects. My brother was into country music and I helped him with one of the first online country music websites. We started dabbling on some side businesses, failed in several of them. I mean, some people could see them as positive experiences. I see them as positive now because I learned, but there were failures. I mean, I tried selling real estate. I tried doing online fitness coaching. I tried several things, John. It was just, I was dabbling because I wanted to do something different. And then all that time while I kept going to the 9-to-5, you know, grind every day at the same job, I was in insurance. So after a while, I just said, I looked around and said, there is a spot in this industry, a niche that I could take out and go start my own business. and get out of the 9-to-5, but still do something I already know. I mean, after about working in the business for 7 years in insurance, I pretty much knew the insides and out. I launched the company and never really looked back ever. So that's been it. It's been a great run.
So from trying some of the ideas you'd tried prior mm-hmm. that you mentioned in there were more solo style, coaching and those kinds of things, right? Getting yeah. into the insurance game, Ernie, I'm not in the insurance game, but I mean, I see it almost like healthcare. It's gigantic and it's yep. companies that have been there forever. It's very covered in legal stuff, I'm sure. And it seems like something that somebody who didn't have this huge success or pile of investor cash behind them should get into.
Yeah, that's true. So unless you have the ability to compete at a high level, it's a tough industry. But the niche that I found, what I got in was a low cost opportunity because I wanted to bring technology into the business, but I didn't have the investment capital. I bootstrapped the company. But what I did know was that the service side, which is when you're in an auto accident, your vehicle has to be inspected. There has to be an appraisal done. There has to be in-person contact. And that is a in-person low cost because you can actually build networks and use a basic technology platform to manage that, which we built. And that was kind of our entry into the business. We focused on the service side. So that was able to give us capital by reinvesting back into the business. I kept reinvesting back in and then use that money to then build out the technology. So I had to kind of use a two-pronged approach to kind of get the company going. So for the first 3 to 4 or 5 years, it was using service revenue to reinvest back into the company to build technology.
So how did you get, how did the very beginning of it start with the fact of you, if it's technology, you must have had to build out a platform of some sort first?
That's correct. Yeah, we built a basic platform, one that could actually dispatch out, record information, basic data points, and made it really smooth, a streamlined process. And then once we were able to do that, we were able to build a huge network of independent providers, which we put into the network that all joined up, and then created a real simple dispatching solution out for carriers to be able to put resources into the field. Now, you have to remember at this time, 15 years ago, and I mean, this industry, it's so funny how the insurance industry was really backward and still is in some ways. They were using a lot of paper-centric processes. So for us to be able to deliver something, just even something online that could do this was is really amazing for an insurance carrier. So by doing that, that got our foot in the door. We were able to go into carriers who pitching to these carriers is not very easy because it's an industry that's slow to adapt technology. So you really have to be convincing. You really have to get a lot of no's, definitely a lot of no's from people until you finally get those yeses. But it was just continual marketing, positive attitude, going in there and really, and I think the thing I enjoy about myself going in there is I'm enthusiastic because I believe in it. And that sells a lot of it in itself. But those first three to four years it was very tough at first.
Did you have a team at the very beginning?
My wife, myself, and two other partners started the company together. And then we added on about three people within the first year or so. So we're only about a 7-person team. And so we were doing a lot of the work ourselves. I mean, myself and my other, one of the co-founders is one of our lead salespeople. We went out there and just client after client, traveling the country.
I was going to guess that you were the sales guy out there at the beginning.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because because you started in sales early on, I thought maybe you had a knack that you felt.
You know, the funny thing though, John, is I hated sales. I hated sales when I did inside sales. I didn't really like it. But over time, I liked it. I started to learn to like it because I wasn't formally trained in it, but I just kind of dove in. This is the thing I tell you about. I'm always looking to grow and better myself. So I'm always reading top sales books from sales trainers. I'm always trying to be a sponge and soak up as much knowledge as I can. That's another thing I do. Whether it's fitness, health, whatever it is, I'm a big believer that you got to keep growing your skills. So I would study up, and then just start putting into practice. But I found out the best thing of all was just being yourself. I mean, I go in there, I talk fast, I have a high energy level, and I don't care because I believe that if you got enthusiasm, you got energy, people will see that and people will feed off that. They gravitate toward that because who wouldn't be excited if somebody else is excited? They're coming there with energy about the product. You, hey, you can really make some effect. You can affect some change, get people excited. That's what I like to do. That's one of my passions, is bringing that energy.
I love it. I love it. So after the first year, Ernie, there's about seven people on the team. 14 years later, what does the team look like today?
We're close to 50, and we've been able to grow without adding a huge amount of staff because of the technology. The platform is so scalable that we've built in a lot of automation, beginnings of machine learning, a lot of built-in tools, predictive tools that help automate a lot of this process. So we can go into an insurance carrier and automate a large portion of the process for them. So we're about 50 people right now.
I love it. How has your job day-to-day changed as CEO of a company from four of you at the very beginning to about 50 now? That's over 10x. Mm-hmm. How has your job, or how have you, let's say, personally, as a human being, had to evolve and adapt to become the person to lead this company?
Yeah. Okay. So when you're obviously starting out, I was doing pretty much wearing every hat with my founders. We were doing everything together, and I did a lot leading the company. The biggest thing that I've had to do over the years was bring in some good people to lead on a day-to-day level. A lot of because I have a tendency that I like to get hands-on. I like to talk to everybody. And this can be a weakness at point to a point, it can be, but I like to talk to everybody. I like to know what's going on. I like to be right in the trenches with my team. And while that I used to see that as a super strength, I still do see it as a strength, but it can backfire to some degree. And so I've had to over the last 5 to 6 years, more so backed off and be able to delegate to good people who can handle a lot of the day-to-day. And I can focus then on the strategy and then a lot of the new products, new services, new things that we're going to go into. And I really liked marketing. Marketing, sales, and strategy is where I really enjoy and coming up with new products. So I've had to step back from the day-to-day and really start focusing on those things that really matter.
So let's talk about, let's say, like, not so much marketing, but say strategy, but mostly products.
Mm-hmm.
And I typically refer to it as like projects, but that usually comes into new product lines or even just adaptations of or evolutions of existing products. Mm-hmm. But I would like to know if, as somebody who is into it and also the CEO of this company, how do you determine either yourself or as a team that a project is worth not only yours, but your team's time, energy, and resources?
Okay. Well, I think in our business, I'm always looking to add efficiency. And then in the business that we're in, which is the insurance business, we're looking at ways to help the consumer, which is actually the customer of the insurance company, which is the person who owns a vehicle and has to insure it, and the actual insurance adjuster who has to do all the claims processing at the carrier. I decide, okay, are we going to add a solution or a project or something that's going to eliminate wasted time and touch points? Is it going to add value to our technology platform? Is it going to make us more competitive on the market? So I kind of look at all those different angles, but really it comes down to this. If we're able to add something that can affect the customer and our client, which is the insurance carrier, and it could give us a strategic advantage in the market, then we move ahead because it's going to add value. Because ultimately, I don't know if you've been in an accident before, John. Have you been in a car accident?
Minorly, yes.
Have you had to file an insurance claim and all that?
Yes. I'm in Canada, okay. So it okay. Might be slightly different.
Well,
it's a pain in the ass.
Exactly. No way. There's no way around it. Yeah, exactly. And so the bottom line is, what can we do to make it better for the customer? So that's what I'm looking at. Whether it's some of the self-service products that we introduced, you know, over the last few years, which means like, if it's minor, you can take your own picture, John, of a couple damages, you know, dents in your car, wow. Send it in, process the claim in a few hours. That streamlines it instead of sending somebody to drive all the way out there when it's not necessary. Could it be something that makes it so you don't have to call in every minute asking when's your claim going to be processed? You get updates, push notifications, whatever it is it going to add value? And that's what I'm looking at all the time. What can we do to add value and better the process?
And so your customer was the adjuster or the insurance provider first?
Exactly. So a carrier, an insurance company will come to us and say, hey, we want to use your technology platform and your service network to be able to service our customers, which is their customers, like the person who they're insuring. So we're giving them tools at the insurance company to be able to service their policyholder better.
Wow, interesting. So you're the person paying you is the provider, but it's really your tools are to help their customer.
That's correct.
So that places you in an interesting place where you have to focus on their customer, but that's not actually, and your customer at the same time.
Right, right. And in fact, the adjuster, let's say you're an insurance adjuster and you're handling a bunch of these accidents, right? And you have an old process where you're very paper focused. You have to file through all these files, do all this. If you can just go into a platform like ours, you sit here, type the claim number in, look at it, pull up the digital images, see the data behind it, and manage so that we make the adjuster's life easier every day. So we make their life easier, then we make in turn make their customer's life easier.
Wow. So in 15 years, the technology just, well, not even the technology, Ernie, has been revolutionized in 15 years. The way the internet exists and works has been, and with mobile phones and smartphones now. How do you stay, I guess, ahead of the curve? Like you said, you were early into this, but I'm sure you've had competitors come up and want to sort of take a bite of your cake at this point.
Yeah, there's definitely competitors in the industry. And then where the industry's going, I mean, we see that the advent of self-driving cars, there's the machine learning, there's the potential. And I believe the potential is that you're going to have cars in the future that basically estimate themselves. You could have a situation where there's little microprocessors just covering a vehicle. So when it gets hit in an accident, it knows what panel was damaged or it knows how the extent of the damage. It can almost self-estimate the repair costs. And it could, in some ways, change the industry. It could make it so it's so automated that nearly eliminates potentially some of the business. If self-driving cars get to the point where they eliminate accidents, then the insurance industry is not going to exist hardly. So you never know where the future is going. But yeah, there's a lot of potential in the future that this could be a very changing industry. But I just look at it this way. All we can do every day is just keep bettering what we have, adding more technology into the process, doing what we can do to become the leader in our space. And there you go.
Right. You can't change the way technology in the world's going. As a strategist and a CEO, you can try and predict where.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. So you are away from the business now. Let's talk like sort of personally, Ernie. Mm-hmm. You're running a successful company. And yet when you type in Ernie Bray, anybody sitting at a computer right now could type in Ernie Bray. And you have a serious online presence. Every major publication, everything, you are there. How do you do this? How do you do this and run your company at the same time?
Hey, I'm a big believer that one of the biggest things in business or even in your own marketing is obscurity. And you got to be out there always working. And one of the passions I have, if I was not running my company, ACD, is I enjoy working with entrepreneurs. I enjoy writing articles. I enjoy giving back some of my things I learned through my growth, because I don't consider myself a person who went, I got a degree in sociology in college. I mean, my brother did as well. I came from the mindset, my dad and my family were all from a family of teachers. They go to school, go to college, get a degree, you'll get a job and you'll be fine forever. And so I just kind of got a sociology degree. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but now looking back, the things I'm doing online now, I want to get out there and eventually maybe potentially start a marketing firm. We're going to be running a podcast here soon to sort of transfer some of that knowledge that I've learned, help other entrepreneurs, and get out there and do some other fun things. That's my passion. I'm into health and fitness as well. Been a passion in my life since I was young.
So a marketing firm and a podcast. So a podcast, not to make it like it's too easy, because it consumes a huge portion of my life. Mm-hmm. I'm running podcasts and I know it's a ton of work, but then a marketing firm?
Yeah. One thing that people to come to us a lot is they like the way that we market and the way we do our business. I have a lot of people come to me and say, hey, I see a lot of the things you do. And whether it's digital marketing, social media, assistance in that area, even if it's just helping companies in their strategy in those areas, that's kind of interesting to me, because I think, and the skills that I've learned over the last 15 years going into an industry where it's a multi-billion dollar industry and be able to take a piece and piece of the pie, basically get in there and create a good company. I would love to help other businesses on their strategy and their plans, whatever sector they're in. It's kind of fun.
You've got that entrepreneurial sort of, I guess, I don't know what it is in us, but that thing where somebody asks or people ask you a question enough times, you start to sit back and think,
yeah,
this might be a business.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, hey, people are asking me, well, how do you do this? How do you go in there? You're asking me, how do I get on the internet all the time? I go out, I just put out content, whatever. If it's good content, I'm trying to get out content that's on my mind, things that are affecting my business, things that I'm interested in. And the one thing that I haven't done though, that I really want to get into is more, I said health and fitness. I competed in triathlons. I was a former collegiate basketball player. Health and fitness is an area that I really, really have a passion in. I study DNA and how to optimize yourself, sort of the versions of biohacking. And that's really a lot of my side passions. So that's even other areas that I'm interested in. So I'm a big believer the mindset and people's interpretation of an entrepreneur is that, like I said, they're grinding, they're working 24/7, they're up, they're burning all ends of the candle. You got to have some other outlets. You got to be sort of a person who wants to gain knowledge in different areas because it just makes you a better, well-rounded person.
Right. And so when you talked about at the beginning, this entrepreneurial lifestyle and working a ton, it's not necessarily always just you in front of paperwork for the business. It's also exactly. You working on yourself as an individual.
That's right. As a person, as a human being growing. One thing I'm kind of interested in, John, right now is I read this book. It was the Daily Stoic. I've been studying Stoicism a little bit. Been reading some Marcus Aurelius, old Roman emperor and meditations. Philosopher. You bet. Yeah. I kind of got into it. So I started just kind of going off because I think that's one thing that entrepreneurs don't realize is a lot of stress. And I, being a very high energy and somewhat anxious person, I'll be honest with you. I have a little, you get anxiety sometimes. Your livelihood's on the line when you're doing this. When I start out, you can get stressed out. And so I think finding ways to cope with that and finding ways to learn and grow like that is great. And I even meditate now. I've been doing that for about 4 to 5 months. It's been very helpful to me. I use this little headband called Muse. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, you do Muse. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing that, testing that out for a few months. It's been successful for me. I liked it. It's been great. I try different things. I'm lots of different methods to say, what can I do? If it doesn't work, throw it out. But little different things to keep making myself better, much as I can.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I like it. So this has been a fascinating conversation, Ernie. I would now like to, this seems like a great segue into my final question for you, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
It, I guess, really ties into what you were just saying, but it's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. So as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, as builders of things, it seems like we're oftentimes, or always actually, projecting our personal and our business successes into the future, right? So in 1 month when you get to launch your new podcast, or in 6 months when you hit that revenue metric with ACD, whatever it happens to be, Ernie, you and I both know seconds before you hit that goal, you're going to set 5 or 10 bigger ones into the future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about driving forward and we need those goals. I absolutely agree. But I would like it right now if you could stop, turn around and look behind you, the highs, the lows, the wins and the losses, and tell me how you feel about this whole kind of crazy journey you've been on up until today.
Okay. I would say I've been a driven person and I drive. And it's funny how you say that, like you're always looking for the next goal. I am that kind of person. And that's the thing. Sometimes you're never satisfied. I even wrote an article on this I published online, basically that you go out. Like when I was doing triathlons, I would go out, I wanted to do a half Ironman. So I did a half Ironman. I did it 4 times. And the first one was the best ever. The training was awesome. I had a great time. I achieved it. But once I achieved the goal, there was kind of an emptiness behind it. I don't know if you know what I mean, but I got to the pinnacle, I did it. And then even with business here, you get to a certain revenue mark, you set the next goal. And then, but what happens is you start to get into, and I feel, a cycle of you're just never good enough, you're always striving. And I'm a believer that you have to keep striving. But at the same time, I've found, and what I've learned, and I don't know if this is answering your question, I'm just gonna give you my personal thoughts on this though. The biggest thing looking back on this is not all these goals. It's not winning all these awards. It's not getting to certain revenue levels. It's not achieving this. It's, and I wrote this, is the victory is kind of in the journey. The victory is in the journey, because that's where you learn about yourself. You become a better person. And by no means am I saying, okay, yeah, I'm burned out. I'm saying, hey, you have to start to learn to enjoy the process of the whole thing. It's not just always achieving another goal, because there's always going to be somebody better than you. There's always going to be somebody who's making more. There's going to be another company that's bigger. But really, it's the journey, enjoying the journey and really learning on that whole process. I hope that makes sense.
That absolutely does make sense. And maybe I should have guessed you would say something like this, as somebody who meditates and reads Marcus Aurelius.
Oh, really? Okay, that's awesome.
You take more time than a lot of people to actually be aware of these sorts of things, which I think is fascinating and really interesting and valuable to do. And a lot of people really don't, but it's probably a reason why. I mean, you do. You sound calm. You sound happy.
Now, I get people that know me know, though, that I'm high energy, and they would say that I'm, like I said, but I think it's being enthusiastic, and you have to love what you're doing. But at the same time, you got to really enjoy the process. And that's what I enjoy is growing.
I love it. I love it. All right, Ernie, this has been, as I said, a fascinating conversation that I've really, really, really enjoyed. And I'm sure people out there listening have as well. So we talked about ACD sort of throughout the conversation. You also have a personal blog and Twitter where you're quite active. Mm-hmm. But where would you like people who are interested in learning more from you right now, where would you like them to go and do next?
Sure. They can go to erniebray.com. That's my emerging and growing presence, where I talked a lot about business on there, but you're going to start to see a lot about just different parts of life. Stuff we talked about, Marcus Aurelius, Stoicism. It'll be all different, health, fitness. And then on my Twitter, you can follow me at Ernie Bray on Twitter. But those are the two main areas. And it's going to be, like I said, this is a fun process, because I'm just building some of the next phases of what I'm doing and enjoying it.
Very cool. Very cool. erniebray.com is the website. Twitter, I'll link to that, as well as I'll find some Marcus Aurelius for you guys to read. ACD Corp is the main company still. I believe the new podcast will be on erniebray.com as well.
Yep.
And I'm going to find a link to Ariel Garten. Ariel Garten was on this show, I'm going to say almost 3 years ago, but she is the creator and founder of Muse, the app that you're using to meditate.
Awesome.
And she's actually a local Torontonian here. So I'll find that as well, so you can kind of take the story there if you would like once you're done this.
Perfect.
Ernie, once again, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for sharing so openly. And just keep doing what you're doing, because it is really, really awesome to watch.
Well, thanks.
All right. That was a lot of fun. Do you know what time it is? It's that time in the show where we're going to go back together through the conversation and find that one thing that Ernie said. You ready? All right. Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I was doing side projects. My brother was into country music. And I helped him with one of the first online country music websites. We started dabbling on some side businesses, failed in several of them. I mean, some people could see them as positive experiences. I see them as positive now because I learned, but they were failures.
And that's the hack. Ernie. Nearly 500 people have been on the show. Nobody's ever said this. Before you started, you had side projects with your brother, side projects without your brother, and they didn't work out. They failed. I love how you say some people could look at them as positive, and they are now because I learned from them. But at the time, you're listening to this, and you've probably done things or tried things, projects, and they haven't worked out. They've failed, if you will. I've done them. I've had numerous ones. And I love this because I think maybe too often you get people on this show, or in general, people who have succeeded now, and we sort of glamorize the failures, right? Like, there are these amazing things that you should go through, but they suck when you're going through them. They're super, super hard, aren't they? They are. And so I love how how Ernie says, like, well, some people would say this because, yeah, we do. We glamorize those failures, which is easy to do when you're sitting on a business 15 years later that's really, really successful, like Ernie is, right? But at the time, when this is happening to you, especially if you haven't had a quote-unquote success yet, that's where you start to doubt yourself. You start to think that maybe I am not the person to do this. Maybe I don't have what Ernie has. And it's not true. It was just as hard for him. He just told you. And he's not even trying to glamorize the failure. He's saying that, yes, of course, 15, 20 years later, I've learned stuff from it. Hindsight's great. At the time, it sucks. They were failures. But he didn't quit. He kept going. Ernie, thank you so very, very much. As we just learned, to become an entrepreneur, you must trust yourself. You must trust yourself and the path that you're taking. And that means going to the one place that has everything you need. That's why I created Hack the Entrepreneur's brand new entrepreneurial mindset course that will teach you how to think and act like an entrepreneur. This course takes you way beyond anything else out there. Because, like, while these others claim that they do everything, the truth is that they only cover an individual perspective and path. Even worse, they're typically written by someone who hasn't even run a business for years. The HTE Mindset course, it's sourced from 483 conversations with currently practicing entrepreneurs, people who live and breathe business, and they know what works firsthand. To check it out right now, go to roadmaptofreedom.co. You can sign up for the free 21-step guide, and you can also get access to the Entrepreneurial Mindset course. Once again, roadmaptofreedom.co. All right, this has been a lot of fun. I do thank you so much for joining me. If you're new or if you've been here many times, either one, I truly appreciate you taking the time to stop by, and I hope that you will again. And until then, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.